Hi, you with Truth News Radio, and it is the 27th of March 2013. Great to be with you today. My name's Hereward Fenton. I'm going to be running through some stories which are in the news at the moment. Some of them rather under the radar, and that is typical of this show. A lot of the news that is of particular importance and interest is often not widely disseminated. So I'm going to be going through a variety of things in the show. I have no interviews actually lined up. We're going to be you're going to be listening to me for the next hour, so I do hope you enjoy it. And if you'd like to check out our website, please do at www.truthnews.com.au. We've got a great collection of interviews and articles on there which you may find interesting, and you can download the podcasts whenever you need to. And you can also get them on your smartphone if you would like to subscribe to one of our RSS podcast feeds. Now, the first story I'm going to bring to you today, ladies and gentlemen, is one which is actually the product of my own personal research and bitter experience. I can announce to you that full body scanners are now in vigorous operation at Sydney Airport. I was not pushed through them, but I saw them in operation as I went overseas a couple of days ago. And I can tell you they are pushing people through these machines at an incredible rate. It's not just the odd person being singled out. I saw probably half a dozen go through while I was waiting in line, and I could have easily ended up going through, but the way the system works is that you're in a line as you head into the security area, and then a suited man with a security badge on will then direct you either to go left or right at a certain point when you reach the end of the initial queue. If you go left, you go into the bay, which is fitted out with the full body scanner, and it is a ProVision millimeter wave scanner, and I will be putting links to that on the website. If you go to the right, you end up going through the traditional metal detector, and potentially you may also be swabbed for explosive testing. This is something else they've been doing at the airport for quite a while. Now, I've noticed at the airport there seems to be a heightened security apparatus now. These suited men with like suits and ties with the ID tag on, are a different type of security personnel to what I have seen before. There is an air of intimidation about the whole place. There are huge signs up saying, "Attention, body scanning in progress. Prepare to be scanned." And there is just an incredible apparatus of interfering with people when you combine the metal detectors, the scanners, the swabs, the odd pat-down that they do give to people. Oddly, if you're selected to go through the scanner, you're not eligible for a pat-down. Now, this is in distinction to the system in the United States, where you can opt out and you can basically have a pat-down. In Australia, and I think it was partially in response to the fact that there were so many privacy concerns and so many complaints about the behavior of the TSA, they decided, look, there will be no pat-downs. It's just, you know, you either go through the scanner or you don't get on the plane. It's that simple. But of course, there are websites up. The government has put up websites telling you that it's all completely safe. I've got one here from the Australian Government Department of Infrastructure and Transport. Airport body scanners. Body scanner screening commences at Australia's 8 international gateway airports in December of 2012. So it's been in progress there now for about a little over 3 months. The eight international gateway airports are Adelaide, Brisbane, Cairns, Darwin, Gold Coast, Melbourne, Perth, and Sydney airports. So all the major capital cities are now fitted out with these machines. Body scanners are being introduced as an additional layer of security that includes walk-through metal detectors, restriction on carriage of fluids, aerosols and gels, and explosive trace detection and police presence. Now, it goes on to say here that the travelling public should not be concerned about the introduction of body scanners. And there's kind of a little info zone here on the site, and it sort of says, do you use a mobile phone? How about wireless internet? The body scanners to be used in Australia will only use non-ionising millimetre wave technology. Millimetre waves are radio frequency energy in the gigahertz bands, similar to that emitted by mobile phones. The lower intensity of the millimetre waves and short duration of the scan means that the person being scanned is exposed to much less energy than is the case with other everyday devices. One body scan emits 10,000 times less radio frequency energy than an average mobile phone call, which is significantly less than the maximum permissible exposure levels for the public as set by the Australian Radiation Protection and Nuclear Safety Agency. So there you have it, folks. According to the government, you've got nothing to be concerned about. Although it is interesting, is it not, that they feel the need to tell you that you've got nothing to be concerned about? The mere fact that they've felt the need to tell you how harmless it is an indication of the fact that indeed there are those who claim that it is not harmless. And it is in fact a conflict of opinion, a challenge there to those who say that there is a problem. And they're saying, well, we're right and you're wrong. And this is typical all the way of the big government, big nanny state approach. Whenever they want to do anything, they just say, we're right and you're wrong if you disagree. And of course, being wrong means that if you continue to disagree, you'll be arrested. And you will be put in handcuffs and charged for being wrong. You know, your opinion is your opinion, but the government says we're right and you're wrong, and that then becomes a crime. For example, if you refuse a breath test, a random breath test, this is another thing we have in Australia. It's been around for decades. And again, it was slipped through by stealth on the back of people's concerns about drunk driving, that you could be interfered with in your car, you could be stopped and you could be forced to blow into the bag or later into the electronic device there. Now, you may have done nothing wrong. You may be completely sober. You may be, in your opinion, completely in the right and say, look, I don't agree with you doing this to me. I refuse. Well, guess what? If you do that, that's a crime for which you can go to jail. Yes. Even though you might be completely stone-cold sober, your refusal to comply with the police officer means that you have committed a crime. Now, in regards to the airport body scanners, what they've said here is that you will not be able to refuse. And if you don't comply, you simply will not be able to fly. I don't know whether there will actually be charges laid for your refusal to comply. They might as well. I don't see why not. I mean, they do that with random breath testing. Why not charge someone with refusing a body scanner? You have been found guilty of refusing to go through a body scanner. Yes, well, but Your Honour, I wasn't actually carrying any bombs. That's irrelevant. You know, the law is the law. I mean, why not? Because it's exactly the same principle as the way they've set up the laws in regard to random breath testing. Anyway, I mean, the real problem is here, folks, that we let the government get away with this. We let these laws go through. We let our freedoms be stolen from us one by one. We're all to blame. I'm to blame. It's a shocking situation to be in. And I tell you, when I went through the airport a couple of days ago, I was really dreading the outcomes if I were forced to go through the scanner. Because, you see, for me to have to comply with that, and I'll get into more in the next segment about why I really don't want to comply. It's more than just health issues. But for me to comply with this measure, really would be, it's like being dragged into the mud. It's like in Nazi Germany when they forced the Jews to put on the star, to sew the Star of David onto their clothing. It's a loss of dignity. It's dragging yourself into the mud, being subjected to the jackboot of the nanny state. And when you subject yourself to that, when you voluntarily submit to any form of tyranny, it does something to your soul. It does something to your dignity, to your inner person, who you are, which you can't undo. It's a really, really horrendous situation. But even to see it being done and not take action, again, is an assault on your dignity because you know it's wrong. So this is the situation we've come to. And, you know, because we're all too busy and we're all too concerned about preserving our personal quality of life, and, you know, I want to keep my job and I want to keep my mortgage payments up to date because I want to have my nice little piece of the future for my family and my kids, I'm just going to completely do nothing about the encroaching tyranny, the step-by-step removal of our rights. This is exactly what's happened. And it's continuing, and it will get much, much worse than it is now. I guarantee you, in another 10 or 20 years, it will be so much worse than it is now. And when you look back on it, and you think, gee, you know, back in those days, we actually could speak out, you know, we actually could do protests. They hadn't brought in all these new draconian laws at that point, which actually makes it illegal to even protest. Gee, you know, and we didn't. You know, and a lot of people will think about it and say, yeah, gee, we really screwed up there. That's what I think is going to happen. But, you know, it's unfolding at such a slow and methodical pace. It's the boiling frog scenario that we've all heard many times. You don't take action because incrementally the changes don't seem bad enough to warrant getting up and doing something about it. However, in the case of the body scanners, ladies and gentlemen, I really do submit to you that it is that bad. And I want to get into that more after the break. But it is something where you really do have to get up and do something about it. It's such an invasion of, it's such an abasement, a debasement of people's human rights to subject them to this, that it has to be opposed. So I really, I'm going to put a bit of effort once again, as I've done before, into trying to drum up some support for a national movement of opposition to these invidious systems, these invasions of people's rights. We'll be continuing with that discussion after the break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Please don't go away. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Seems to me like they want us to be afraid, man. Maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us, part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that.
Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Liv, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life throwing strife into the mix.
Hi, welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. It's great to be with you today. My name's Herriwood Fenton. And I'm going through some stories. We're looking at presently the rollout of full body scanners at Australian airports. Now, all the major airports in Australia have been fitted out with the ProVision L3 body scanners. And, you know, there are just so many things wrong with this that it's hard to know where to begin. Of course, the government is aware of the waves of dissent in regard to body scanners that took place in the US, and they've attempted to deal with some of the concerns. For example, that they're not using the ionizing X-ray body scanners, which were the subject of a number of studies that had considered that there was a problem, although the government did its own studies and it said they were totally safe. But then other experts with other approaches to it came back with very disturbing suggestions about how they could actually be problematic. And just to concentrate on the X-ray scanners for a moment, I mean, some of the problems there were not simply about whether or not the average dosage of the average machine was going to be a problem, but there were all these problems with actual calibration of the machines. And this is what some of the experts from major universities had said, is that these machines need careful attention. I mean, they're potentially extremely dangerous. And X-ray machines in hospitals have to be maintained at a very, very high level, have to be checked every day, because if they become miscalibrated, the radiation levels can increase dramatically. And of course, they're only used for medical procedures at hospitals, and the operator has to stand behind a shield. And even though it's considered safe, it's actually a risk. And therefore, you want to minimize the risk to the maximum extent that you can, and you only subject people to such measures if it's absolutely necessary, or if the benefits outweigh the risks. In other words, you're trying to find some problem that may be life-threatening inside the person's body. This is totally different to the concept of mass screening, using X-ray as a screening device. It just blows out of the water the whole construct of what X-rays have been used for in a medical context. And you know, with that volume, the number of potential mishaps is far greater. And, of course, the lack of expertise in maintaining those machines to a high level of safety was also of great concern. So there was a huge amount of dissent over the X-ray machines, and they are slowly being removed from most airports. They were completely banned in Europe, and a lot of United States airports are now switching over to the millimeter wave scanner, which is the one that has come into use here in Australia. Now, the questions here about safety, I can't tell you definitively what the risks are. What I do know is that there has been very little actual study done. There isn't much information about it. There haven't been exhaustive studies. Again, these are unique machines. This is not something that's ever really existed before. On the government website, they compare it to a mobile phone. And they say, well, it's much less than a mobile phone. But let's look at the machine. Let's look at how it works. I mean, you step into this giant kind of glass booth, and you're bathed in this radiation. The levels, and we'll get into that, may be on one view, you may say, well, it looks safe. But then from another view, you may say it doesn't look safe. And again, this is typical with anything to do with technology. But then the question comes back to, should we be subjecting people to anything like this that even might be a risk? On the government website, again, they do provide exemptions for people who have prosthetic implants and a few other things like that. So they're acknowledging there that it is not completely harmless, because if it was completely harmless, there would be no exemptions. presumably. So just getting back to this question of safety, there may well be safety considerations. But should we consider, from a different perspective, should we even be implementing this at all? Should we be using a technology on people that is invasive at all? And this comes down to the risk-benefit analysis that they perform about the risks of terrorism and trying to keep people safe. And then to address that problem, we actually have to go into so many topics. But the one I would like to concentrate on just for a moment is the question of whether these things even work, because there is a huge controversy over whether they even are effective. And I have a news piece here from ABC in America that highlights some of the problems there with the actual efficacy of these machines. So I'm just going to play some of that to you right now.
Now turning to one of the newest tools aimed at keeping terrorists off airplanes, airport scanners that may not work as well as we thought. And at least one manufacturer of those scanners is coming under scrutiny. A new study shows that the machines often can't tell the difference between body sweat and a bomb. ABC's Brian Ross has been investigating, and these were so controversial here because of what they show.
Exactly right. The complaints about them had always been the body scanners show too much of the body. But now, based on a study in Germany, it seems they are also highly unreliable.
In the U.S., there are some 250 of the full body scan machines in question.
You shake your hands and place them above your head like so.
Being used at 40 airports across the country. Made by an American company, L3 Communications, they use radio frequencies to scan for hidden weapons and explosives. At a cost of about $170,000 each, U.S. officials call them the best available technology. But that has now been challenged in Germany, where officials announced this week the machines and the software are currently too unreliable to be used. A 10-month trial at the Hamburg airport found false alarms 49% of the time, often body sweat under the arms, reading as explosives, according to German reports. It's a very sensitive device, said one police official, and picks up traces of everything on a person's body.
The German experience has demonstrated exactly how ineffective the devices are. When they can't distinguish between body sweat and explosives, or the pleats in a traveler's pants and an underwear bomb, it's not making anyone safer.
Passengers at the Los Angeles airport said they were surprised and concerned about the findings.
All that technology, all that money, and it gives you a false positive, so maybe a waste of resources.
The company that makes the body scan machines would not comment for us, while a spokesman for the TSA said the machines are the best they've got for now, and that since last year the technology has detected more than 300 dangerous or illegal items on airport passengers, mostly knives and drugs. They're good at that, but they do make mistakes.
This coming the same week, the 9/11 commission members saying we're still at great risk for explosive devices.
Because
the
technology is unreliable, and this is a very good example of that.
Okay, Brian, thanks so much.
Well, there we have it. The German experience was certainly not very inspiring, was it? The machines appear to be pretty useless. And you may think, well, that's just one study or one set of data. Maybe the machines here are better. Well, let's have a look at some research from Australia. I've got an article here from Sydney Morning Herald from March of 2012. It says here, almost half set off alarms in airport body scanner trial. 2 in 5 passengers who took part in a trial of airport body scanners, which are set to become compulsory in a few months, had to submit to further searches after they triggered alarms. And I will continue with that after the break. But the point here being that the trials that were done here in Australia were equally damning of the technology. And it is the same technology that was used in Germany. It's the L3 ProVision. And I saw them myself at the airport when I was passing through just a couple of days ago. You're with Truth News Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
man to man is so unjust. Children, you don't know who to trust. Your worst enemy could be your best friend, and your best friend your worst enemy.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's great to be talking to you today. So as I was saying there before the break, the trials of the L3 Provision millimeter wave body scanners that took place at Sydney Airport were pretty abysmal. 2 out of 5 passengers set off the alarms. So the false alarm rate, the false positive rate, was huge. It says here, cash, boots with buckles, hair clips, watches, jewellery, studs and zips were often causes of the alarm going off in the scanners. And the scanners were slower than the metal detectors. It says here, civil liberties groups say the scanners will make departure security lanes slower. Indeed, they do. Although they have things set up now with a lot more lanes, and they have a small number of people going through the scanning lane, so because they're not scanning everyone, it doesn't really slow you down that much. Now, and of course, the problem with false positives is quite serious, because we don't really want people setting off the machine when they've done nothing wrong, do we? But there has been some other anecdotal evidence that came forward, and this is well known now. If you put this into Google or YouTube, you'll find it. But it is very easy to spoof the scanners and, in fact, get things through the scanners. And this applies to both types of major technology, the millimeter wave and the X-ray, simply by placing objects on the side of your body. Because of the way the imaging device works, it cannot detect objects placed on the side of your body. I mean, you know, it's incredibly insulting to humanity. It's insulting to the people of Australia to be forced to go through these machines which aren't even effective. And it's all about protecting us from the terrible, terrible threat that some maniac might want to blow up a plane. And of course, let's just get into that briefly again. I'm sure many listeners are very familiar with it, but the triggering event was, of course, the famous underpants bomber, who was not actually able to set anything off, but did go through onto a plane with explosives in his underwear. And if you Google the name Kurt Haskell, an attorney who was on that flight, who saw Abdel Muttalib try to set his underpants on fire. If you Google his name, you will find his testimony where he says, and has said this in sworn testimony, that that man was put on the plane by US agents, and he saw the whole thing unfolding at Frankfurt Airport. And then this brings us into the whole question of terrorism and false flag, because the whole industry of security and terrorism appears to be one which is just a controlled thing. It's a fake threat, simply put there to fund the already bloated coffers of security organizations and to give government more mandates and more power to crush your freedoms. So the combination there of extreme profit motive and an extreme motive for power and domination and exploitation. These things have to be opposed, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, we have to take this to the streets. There are many of us who are going to have to refuse to go through the scanner, and I know it's going to be very disruptive. It's going to mean we're not going to be able to get to where we wanted to go. It may mean we'll lose our jobs. It may mean we'll lose the mortgage on our house. Yes, that is going to happen. That is coming. We're going to have to actually take a hit on this. We're going to actually have to affect our lives in a really, really unfortunate way. We're going to have to disrupt the smooth flow of our lives to deal with this pesky thing called tyranny, which has just erupted in our midst. We're going to have to just put everything else on hold, put the rest of your life on hold while we solve this problem called tyranny. Sorry, it really does make me incredibly angry and frustrated when I realize the impact of this and how difficult it is and how destructive it is of our lives, because we want to have normal lives. We all want to simply fulfill ourselves in the normal way, but we can't because we've got this problem called tyranny. We've got this problem called fascism, which has raised its ugly head and wants to crush us and turn us into slaves, drones in a kind of authoritarian cotton wool nanny state where everything you do is monitored, controlled, and interfered with while big corporations make money out of the lies and deceptions that go with that. And, of course, plenty of scope there for oppression and falsely accusing people of things simply because that's what goes with the territory of totalitarianism. But I'd like to turn now to talk a little bit about some of the safety issues. I've got an article here from wakingtimes.com. And this is an article which appears to have some pretty good technical research behind it. And he's actually looking, the author of the article, and I'll just try and get the name here up. And I can't actually see an author here on this article. But I'm going to read to you here from what it says about the millimeter wave scanners. I'm just going to read from about halfway down through the article and I'm going to zero in on some important segments here. Let us explore in more depth the existing evidence on low dosage radiation and super high frequencies and how these can affect the human body. When we enter the airport in an attempt to freely travel to our destinations. The best analogy for microwave radiation is microwave ovens because it is something tangible that we can see and most of us understand. Microwave ovens operate at a frequency that is very close to cell phones, 2.45 gigahertz. It makes the molecules of food vibrate to produce heat. It is important to know that in the past, at least with X-ray radiation, the standard was that nobody should be radiated unless it was medically necessary. And he says here that he proposes that this should also be true of microwave radiation. Again, it's just a different frequency of radiation. Should anyone be microwaved? Is it perfectly okay to microwave people? I mean, we've decided it's not okay to X-ray them, but it's perfectly, according to the government, it's perfectly okay to microwave you and you shouldn't say anything about it. And if you do, it's an offence. Well, anyway, I've already mentioned that earlier. Let's continue. Non-ionizing radiation. Now, this is what they call the millimeter wave scanner. Non-ionizing radiation is a term to describe the type of electrical and magnetic energy that exists on the lower end of the electromagnetic spectrum. It includes radio waves, microwaves, and cell phones. Typically, the term millimeter wave is meant to describe wavelengths between 30 gigahertz and 300 gigahertz. While there is technology to see people naked that does use frequencies in this spectrum, the current millimeter wave phone booth scanner uses the spectrum of 24 gigahertz to 30 gigahertz. Calling the 24 to 30 gigahertz radiation millimeter waves is not exactly accurate. calling them super high-frequency microwave scanners would be more accurate. But that may scare the public a bit. So the fact that microwave radiation is being used has been hidden and then downplayed. And you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and we're talking about body scanners. We're talking about the millimeter wave, which is really the microwave scanner. And it's just another way of bathing your body in radiation, but apparently it's completely kosher. You're with Truth News Radio. We'll be right back after this break, and don't go away. You with Truth News Radio. It's great to be with you today. I'm just going to continue reading here from the article on body scanners and non-ionizing radiation, because I do think it's an interesting one. So continuing here, two types of non-ionizing radiation effects, one acknowledged and the other ignored. Scientists can analyze the effects of microwave radiation using thermal and non-thermal results. Take the analogy of the microwave oven, which emits approximately 24 billion less cycles of radiation per second than the TSA scanners. We can analyze the results of microwaving our food by how hot it makes our food in a given period of time and how the food tastes after microwaving it. Analyzing microwave ovens based on simply how they heat the food would not be accurate or complete, however, because many of us know from experience that microwaves do not just heat food. They heat food and also destroy its nutritional value. And studies have shown that the proteins in microwaved food become denatured, producing the rubbery chicken effect. Common sense and good moral principles would indicate that the TSA's microwave radiation scanners would be evaluated for their ability to heat human tissue, as well as their ability to interfere with human biology through non-heat mechanisms, such as disrupting cellular communication. Unfortunately, only the heat standard is used when evaluating the safety of the new airport screening technology, and the non-heating effects are ignored. In order to understand why non-heat effects are ignored from microwave radiation, we must digress back to 1990, when cell phones and other types of wireless technologies were just beginning to become widespread. The biological effects of the electromagnetic spectrum can be so dramatic that, in fact, they recommended back, this is the EPA recommended that they should join the ranks of formaldehyde dioxins and PCBs as carcinogens. And this was an early stage in the EMF studies there of mobile phones. And indeed, there have been more recent studies which show that there is nothing safe about a mobile phone. And I can tell you, I do not habitually keep the mobile phone up to my head, because I'm aware of the fact that that little critter is emitting a massive amount of heat when I'm on the phone. And, you know, heat is a form of energy. And it even just heats up the side of your head. And that doesn't feel like a good thing to me. Who knows what else is being done there? So, you know, there is nothing safe about a microwave. It is nothing safe about a mobile phone. You know, it's just we put up with it. We take the risk, you know. But again, at least with the mobile phone, we take the risk. You know, we're not being forced to do it. This, again, and I want to get back to this before we end the show today, the key point here and why you must oppose it if you love freedom is that the government is forcing you. The government is saying you cannot go overseas unless you go through these machines. And there are no ships in Australia. We have to fly. There is no way to get overseas. So in order to go overseas, you potentially will have to go through one of these machines. So, sorry, folks, you've got to drop some of your priorities and focus on this. This has to become a priority. You've got to fight this one. I'm currently out of the country, and I feel bad saying this because I'm not there on the turf, but it has to be fought. And when I go back to Australia, I will be fighting it. And I'll take a hit on this one as well. I hope you can stand with me. So let's just get back to the questions about microwave safety. Section here in this article, maximum limit of microwave radiation exposure set by industry. The IEEE is the world's largest organization for the advancement of technology. It is their standards on microwave exposures and reports that the government uses. Bear in mind that the microwaving of the public by the TSA is assumed to be safe by blindly relying on these standards without any simple experiments on mice or humans to prove it likely to be safe or likely to be dangerous. I mean, just consider that, folks. No research has been conducted. They're just telling you it's safe. It's okay. You can walk through them. We say it's safe. Guess what? This is less than the radiation you get from using a mobile phone. So they say. It is important to realize that the standards set by the IEEE are not standards that we would set for ourselves or that doctors might set for their patients. Rather, these are standards that place the least restriction on new technology with respect to human health. The way this works is by focusing only on data about the heat effects of radiation while ignoring the non-heat effects of how this radiation might disrupt cellular communication, alter blood plasma, or even cause cancer. Relying on the IEEE standards for radiation safety is like relying on big oil companies to set gas mileage standards for cars. The standards are set for their narcissistic self-interest and not for the safety of the public. This leads to the irony that the very organization that promotes itself as protecting the public from terrorists, the TSA, may be terrorizing the cells in our body with disruptive forms of radiation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this article is extremely, extremely interesting. It's quite long. I won't read the whole thing for you. I'll just skip here to another section here. Evidence of microwave and millimeter wave radiation harm. The military's active denial weapon uses millimeter wave technology to create an intense burning sensation on the skin's surface using a 95 gigahertz beam. The TSA tells us not to worry about their millimeter waves because millimeter wave technology bounces harmless electromagnetic waves off the body to create a generic image for all passengers. Yet this is completely inaccurate because the nature of millimeter waves is that our bodies and water are excellent absorbers of these waves. Millimeter waves do penetrate and absorb into our skin. And I guess the point here to make is that with these machines, what they're saying is it's safe because we're keeping it at a level that's below the level of harm. But it still has to be at the level that it will interact with your body in some way. Otherwise, it won't generate an image, will it? And we know that it's certainly capable of causing harm because we know that you can cook your dinner in a microwave oven. And the active denial weapon mentioned there will create an intense burning sensation on the skin. Now, it says here at the Microwave Technology Center in Malaysia, health subjects were exposed to microwave radiation between 20 and 38 gigahertz, the range in which the TSA scanners operate. They found that millimeter waves penetrated the subject's skin at depths of between 1.05 millimeters at 20 gigahertz to 0.78 millimeters at 38 gigahertz. This is enough to penetrate below the epidermal layer of the skin. Think of how this type of radiation might affect your eyes as you go through the scanner. For example, a 1998 study showed a 3-second exposure to 94 gigahertz millimeter waves would cause cataracts in rhesus monkeys. So, look, I'll just leave that with you and I'll put notes to that on the website. But there are safety concerns, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying that, you know, they're going to kill you. I'm not saying that these machines are definitely dangerous. But then the problem here is that you're being forced to go through them. You have no opt-out. And that is why it is your duty now, I'm afraid to say, and mine, to oppose this tyranny. Last year, I actually created a website to highlight the concerns with these scanners. The domain is wewillnotbescanned.org, and I believe it may have expired now because I did not renew it. I actually had thought that they were going to be canned because there was so much negative news about it. And even though I did hear about it last year, I actually thought, no, they're just going to quietly can the operation. But no, they actually quietly just enacted it. And I was really quite amazed to see them in full operation there as I went through Sydney Airport. So I do encourage you to get back to me on this. If you've got any ideas for how we might, raise a new movement, create a new movement. We need to birth a new movement of opposition and dissent against the full-body scanners in Australia. And I do believe we have to be prepared to refuse to go through the scanners. Some people have suggested that they will simply not travel. I don't think that's a suitable form of protest, because by simply not traveling, you are just being a passive, cooperative and compliant slave and simply saying, well, I'm just going to stay at home. Of course, there is no other way to get overseas, as I've said. I think the only way to express your dissent and to oppose and protest against it at the same time is to go to the airport, get yourself an international ticket, go to the airport and be prepared to refuse to go through the scanner. But have friends there prepared to document the event, to film it, try and get it on the news. We have to turn this into a big public movement. We have to get on news. We have to get exposure to the tyranny, because at the moment it's been completely forgotten. It's all just happened under the hood. No one's doing anything about it. And that's the whole show for this week. Unfortunately, there is no hour two. I hope it was a worthwhile show. I think it was. I'll be back with you next week. See you then.